This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.V. Hilliard.
This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses." We're teaching from the subject, how to win your faith fight. How to win your faith fight. From the teachings and study of the Word of God, we understand faith is not magic, so it doesn't work overnight. We understand that if I am going to obtain the promises of God, the Bible says we do it through faith and patience, which is through faith and endurance. So we understand that if I am going to actually walk in faith and live by faith, I must have the stamina to do so. I must understand how to fight the fight of faith. And so that we would not just be teaching concepts and principles, we thought that we would give the members the opportunity to let me know what faith fights that they were going through, and so that I could be a coach and try and help them through it. And so we have a ton of cards that were filled out, probably by maybe a couple of thousand. So you know I'm not going to teach a lesson on each card, because at 2,000 we only have 52 weeks a year. Couple of those weeks, several of those weeks, I have to be on vacation. So it would take me about 40 years to get to all of them if I taught them. So we're going to group them, and we got several groups, and we're going to deal with them in groups. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, if you'll turn that with me, you'll understand that you're not the only one going through what you're going through. So you don't have to be disappointed that I'm not going to take your card in particular and then address your card for the whole, 40 minutes or so of teaching. Because what you're going through, others are going through as well. And we want to know how to fight the fight of faith and how to win. For every problem that you're going through, there is an ordained faith promise, and there are principles that will cause you to have a positive end. For every problem that you're facing, there is an ordained faith promise, and there are principles that will cause your situation to have a positive end. Verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, "There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man," which says, the word temptation actually means trials and tests. So it means whatever you're going through, you're not the only one going through. It's common. It's common. And that's what the devil likes to tell you. You're the only one going through this. Why you? Why me? Poor me. But no, the Bible says this common to man. But watch this. "But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you're able." And this says that God will not let you be in a situation that you are not capable and able to handle. That's the faithfulness of God, that if you're a child of God, you're walking upright, he says, "I will never let you be in a situation that you don't have the wherewithal in you now to handle." So whatever you're going through, please know and understand that God says it's in you to handle. So what we want to do today is simply stir that up. Amen. We want to stir it up in you so you will understand how to take what God has already given you and walk in victory. Now, go with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, because this first faith fight that we're going to look at is going to be one at first when you look at it, you probably won't think much of it until we get into it. But it is probably one of the most important faith fights that you must win, and you must win it early in your Christian walk. Otherwise, you'll be handicapped in your Christian walk. It is the fight for self-esteem, the fight for self-esteem. Your enthusiasm overwhelms me, but I understand. Yes, what do you think of yourself? That's what we're talking about. What do you think of you? What do you say about yourself? What do you think of yourself? How do you value you? Because how you value you affects how you think other people value you. How you value you will determine what you tolerate from other people. It determines how you'll be treated in life. So when we talk about self-esteem, I don't want you to write it off, because it's so vitally important, because unless you value you, unless you have good self-esteem, then really you can win some faith fights and still be unhappy. Your happiness, your peace, your joy is all, it's really all a part of this thing called self-esteem. How you esteem you. Not what other folks say about you, but what do you really, because you believe you more than you believe anybody else. And if you don't get that right, then you will never, ever experience the fulfillment of the abundant life in Christ. So watch this. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, it says, verse 3, it says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, I did not say I should not think high of myself, but not I should not think more highly of myself than I ought to think. But I ought to have good self-esteem or high regard, high value for myself." In the context of this lesson, self-esteem is this. It is how a person, an individual, values themselves, views themselves, and validates themselves, which controls their behavior, it controls their beliefs, and it also controls and affects their bonding. Now, what I mean by that is it controls, you know, my behavior. I'm going to act in concert with how I see myself. It controls my beliefs. I'm going to be able to believe, accept things based on how I see myself. I'm going to be able to bond. My relationships are all governed by how I see myself. So when we talk about self-esteem, we go for a moment, we're going to just eliminate everybody else. We're not talking about everybody else. We're talking about you. How do you look at you? How do you value you? That is so vitally important, because if you don't value you, there's nothing anybody else can do to make you like you. You have to decide that you're going to take what God says, believe it, and then like yourself. Because when you can esteem yourself, when nobody else encourages you, you're still in the fight. You can encourage yourself. Now, this is really the antidote for depression. It's God's antidote for depression. Because people are depressed when they are focused on negative things. It's God's antidote for being offended. No more, many people get offended. Boy, I'm going to tell you that, you know, people, oh my God, they can get so offended because, you know, people with low self-esteem, and you know, everybody say, it takes one to know one. And I know, because I used to have it. I know you can't hardly believe that now, you understand? I know you can't, but at one time I did, you understand? You know, people, they're so paranoid, and they, you know, if they're, like I used to, if I walked in a room, people were laughing. I thought they was laughing about me. Then I'd cop a serious attitude on too. Like, and the people wouldn't laugh. They had other business. People ain't concerned about your business. They got other business. They got their own problems. You understand? But that's where I was. I had my self-esteem so low. I figured you had to be talking about, if you was laughing, I had to be the brunt of the joke. Yeah. And so it controls a lot. Controls how you communicate. See, if I don't have good self-esteem, I can't be corrected. Oh, y'all just, well, I said, I understood. See, at first, when I was preparing the lesson, I thought, maybe I can get through this in one day. You got it? Then I saw, no, this is serious. This is open heart surgery. You know, you just don't rush in there and start cutting open heart. You got to take your time. So I know it's going to take at least two lessons. You got it? Because, see, a lot of folks try to be in denial, but as we start cutting and you start seeing, you're going to say, oh, yeah, that's me, right? And then you have to face it, and then you do something about it. But listen, people who don't have good self-esteem can't be corrected, because they take it personally. They think as though you attack that person. You don't like me anymore. No, it ain't about that. It ain't about I don't like you. Here's the job you were supposed to do, and you didn't do the job right. So here's how you do it right. I know, but what that mean? Are we still friends? It's not got nothing to do with friendship. This is about the job. You understand what I'm saying? But people who have low self-esteem take everything personal. That's why a lot of couples cannot communicate. I knew it was going to be quiet on that one. No, because when you're trying to communicate with a person with low self-esteem, they take it all as an attack. I don't care what it is. It could be the eggs. You say, no, baby, you know, the eggs. You say, you're going to put me down again. Oh, baby, I ain't putting you down. I'm just saying the eggs. You overcooked the eggs. I don't like the eggs over there. You say, we're talking about it. You'll never encourage me. I'll never even encourage you. They're going to put me down about the egg. So then he go, man, I don't even want to talk about the egg. So I don't want to eat that. Look, I don't want to have breakfast at all. Because if I have breakfast and I don't eat the eggs, then she goes, well, you didn't eat the eggs. You could have eaten the eggs. I spent all this time swimming on the stove. You cooked the eggs. You wouldn't even eat the eggs. What you really? Y'all laughing. But you know I'm telling the truth. It all boils back down to how you see yourself. And if you don't have good self-esteem, you cannot receive correction. And it's difficult to communicate. And you harbor things on the inside. People can just say things, and you harbor them on the inside. And they go, and you go, where'd that come from? You took it as an attack, and it was just a passing comment. It's, I'm telling you. When I give it a teach on marriage, so I know it's important, because when we give a teach on marriage, I'm going to bring the cards in here on marriage. Because they probably stack about this high. I'm going to bring the marriage cards in here, you understand? Just to illustrate how important it is. But see, I could have brought them in here because, see, this all goes back to how you see yourself. Because if I don't feel good about myself, then I'm looking for others to fill that void space. I'm trying to obligate others to do for me what only God can do that I have to accept. And when I find somebody who may esteem me highly, then I will allow them to abuse me just for some moments of being esteemed. All right, I knew you were going to get quiet. John chapter 1, Gospel of John chapter 1. Amen. Okay, John chapter 1. Now, John is a kind of strange guy, John the Baptist, kind of strange guy. This text is, you know, talking about John the Baptist. He's a real strange guy. He's out in the wilderness. He's eating locusts, grasshoppers, and wild honey. And he's dressed in camel's hair. And he's telling everybody they're going to hell. I'm telling you, he got a fire and brimstone message. So, you know, at the temple, they sent somebody down there to investigate. Who is this dude? Okay, let's pick it up in verse 22. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? Now, so John has the opportunity now to answer them. He could say, I am the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And it would have been accurate because that's who his mother and father was. But he chooses to find what the word of God says about him. And that is what he chooses to give as a report on himself. All right, he says. All right. And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. So what he chose to do was not to get his identity from the natural, but he chose to get his identity from the spiritual. You get this? This is so vitally important now, because, see, unless I have good self-esteem, I can't handle persecution. And see, you tell me what you want, the hundredfold? The hundredfold comes with persecution. And you can't handle folk talking about you now. You ain't got nothing. You can't handle who you talk about. You don't have nothing now. If you get anything, they're going to really talk. You can't handle it now. You disqualify yourself for the promotion because he can't ever let you get in the place with the Bible says he won't let you be tried or tested above that you're able. So until you're able to handle persecution, you're not able to get your breakthrough on your car, house, all that kind of stuff. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, go with me, Bibles, to James chapter 2. Good self-esteem is mandated by Scripture. It's mandated by Scripture. When we talk about good self-esteem, it's how you personally value yourself, view yourself, validate yourself. It affects your behavior. It affects your beliefs. It affects your bonding. God wants you to like you. Come on, look at the person and say, God wants you to like you. Yeah, yeah. He wants you to love yourself, because that sets the framework for how you're going to deal with others. So we take this out of James chapter 2, verse 8. He says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You do well. If you love your neighbor as your who? I got to love me. Because he wants me to be, the way I love me is how he wants me to love everybody else. So it's okay, God wants you to love you. Everybody say, God wants me to love me. I come in, some of y'all by faith just say, I love me some me. Come on, look at the person that says, I love me. I love me some me. Amen. I know some of y'all, it's hard to say that, but I love me some me. See, me and me get along well. All right, watch this. Go with me your Bibles now to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Because I got to understand that when I got in Christ, he perfected everything else. Jesus. Amen. You know, a lot of people walk me, well, you know, I had no daddy growing up, and I didn't have this growing up. Wait a minute. You in Christ now, baby. I mean, we got to quit going back to all of that because the Bible tells me he made up the difference. Are you there in Colossians chapter, what I tell you? 2. Look at verse 9. Well, I'll start at verse 1, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. I am complete in him. Glory to God. Man, people just get that. He completes me. So everything that was lacking before I found him, he made up the difference. So I can't be putting my, oh, didn't know my daddy wasn't there. Well, a whole lot of folk had daddies at home and they still messed up. So you having a dad at the house, there's no guarantee. No, I'm complete in him. Amen. I'm complete in him. He completed me. He perfected me. When I found him, he filled in every void spot in my life. He makes up the difference. I just got to believe it. Amen. Glory to God. All right, watch this. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. We should respect ourselves and carry ourselves as chosen royalty. Glory to God. Yes, indeed. Because that's what the Bible says I am. I'm chosen royalty. So I respect myself and I choose to carry myself as chosen royalty. Verse 9. All right, it says, for ye are a what? Chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth or demonstrate the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So the scripture says this is where I'm supposed to carry myself a certain way because folk can't see my God, but they can see me. And they get an idea, an impression about my God by looking at me. I'm getting a whole lot of amens on that. You see, I see this and I believe it. When it say ye are, you could just scratch out the ye and you put, I be here, you right there. I'm chosen. I'm of royalty. Even though I'm from the hood, from the ghetto. He made me royalty. So see, I see myself as royalty. So I go places where royal folk go and feel I fit in. I know I fit in. Why? He said I do. Now here's the thing. People will treat you the way you require them to treat you. Amen. 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 See, it's the self-esteem. I believe what God tells. It's self-esteem. How I esteem myself. I'm not waiting for somebody else to do it. It's good if you got folk around you who can, that can help you, but you've got to do this for yourself. Amen. All right. Watch this. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. We're new creatures and we are supposed to reign in life. We're ambassadors. We represent him. You represent God. You're an ambassador. You're on assignment. Glory to God. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Are you there? I start there in verse 20. It says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So here's how I see myself. I see myself as an ambassador. I'm not from around here.
I know.
No, I'm really, you know, I have dual citizenship. I got a citizenship in heaven. See, I became somebody when I stepped into Christ. So you got to believe. See, now here's how we've been so conditioned to trade sympathy for respect. Okay, here's the thing. We will tell everybody everything wrong with us so they can sympathize with us. Okay? Somebody give you a compliment. Oh, that's a nice car. Oh, child, it's got 100,000 miles on it. Because, see, you don't really believe you deserve to have just a nice car. You got to have a nice car with something wrong with it. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. I mean, you can't accept just a straight out compliment because somehow or another you have to put that down. You have to demean it because somewhere in your value system you're not comfortable with it. Amen, amen. Look, person say ouch. Just say ouch, ouch, ouch. Can't say amen. Just say ouch. Here's how we are. You can leave home not knowing, or it may happen while you're out, and you see a spot on your clothes. You didn't see it before you left home. It's just a small spot. You go around and tell everybody about the spot. They don't even see the spot. You say, well, you see a spot on my clothes? I didn't know when I left home. See, we've been trained to call attention to deficits. So you got to get out of that mindset. Amen, amen, amen. Pastor's preaching good, even though, you know, y'all don't look good. Romans 5:17. Amen. Yeah, if you ain't faithful a car and get the car, you won't even be able to enjoy it for making excuses for it. Yeah, you know, it's just a car note, just a note. Well, we know if you didn't pay cash for it, you got a note. You didn't have to tell us. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. I'm supposed to reign in life. Amen. That's what he says. I'm supposed, now we're talking about reigning in life. I'm supposed to reign over my flesh. My flesh ought not to control me. I don't have to live a gutter life to live in sin. I can reign over that. That's who he says I am. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, okay, here is why you know good self-esteem is important. It's because every time God called a person, most of the time he called them and they had low self-esteem. And before he assigned them and sent them forward, he had to build their self-esteem. We're going to see what he did to build their self-esteem, and then we'll get the key to what it takes to build our self-esteem. Okay? So first of all, let's take Moses. Now, you know, God comes to Moses down the mountains, you know, burning bush and all that kind of stuff. Then God started talking to him. Said, Moses, I've heard the cry of my people. And Moses, I'm going to answer that cry. I'm getting ready to set things straight. Moses, you're going to go down there and tell Moses, wait a minute, I thought you was going to do all this. He says, you're going to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses got to thinking about everything. Then Moses said, hold on, God, time out. I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of speech. You're here carrying on a conversation with the God of the universe, and you're talking about you're not equipped to go talk to Pharaoh? See, here's the point. We are so conditioned, and we're highly developed in letting people know what we don't have and advertising our deficits. Got it? Now, what God does for him, and you're going to find this in Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. What God does for him is this. God says, I'll be with you. That's what he says to him. After he talks about all of this, what he don't have, God says, I'm with you. Go on, Moses. You're going to still go down there, and I'm going with you. Y'all want to look at that? And y'all won't slow me down if I look at it, but okay, let's go there. Let's go there. Y'all going to slow me down. No, I ain't going to go look at that. I'm going to look at him. You have to trust me. All right. We're going to look at one. I'll just look at one. Here's the next example of Gideon. God comes to Gideon. Angel of the Lord, Gideon, shocks Gideon. He's hiding from the enemy. And the angel said, you mighty man of valor. Gideon, look at him like, oh, you must, somebody else must be in this cave besides me. And so then he says, the angel says, you'll go forth in the strength of the Lord, the power of God, and you're gonna wipe out the Midianites. And Gideon said, no, not me. First of all, my family is the poorest family, and we're the least of all of the other people around here. Again, advertising his deficits. What does God say to him? God didn't say, look, I'm gonna give your family some money so you'll feel better. That's not what God says. Gideon, I'm with you. Go on down there and I'll be with you. All right, now go to Jeremiah chapter 1. We'll just look at Jeremiah. Mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Now, in Gideon is Judges chapter 6, verses 12 through 16. But now we'll look at Jeremiah because I think if I give you one witness that we actually look at, you can go back and look at the other two on your own. So he comes to Jeremiah and he gives Jeremiah this awesome call, and Jeremiah starts talking about his deficits again. He has low self-esteem. Verse 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. Anybody ask you that? Did nobody ask him that? All right. But the Lord said unto me, say not I'm a child, for thou shalt go into all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. So in every situation, when a person starts talking about what they don't have, God says, I'm with you. So it's this consciousness that God is with me that makes up for all my deficits.
I thought I'd get a better amen than that.
No. It's this consciousness of who I am now that God is with me, that builds me up, that overrides all of the deficits that I know that I have. Amen. Now, I must know that I have chosen, I made a choice to live by faith. Now, I gave you, about six things the other day. I said that when I live by faith that I choose to do. Number one, when I choose to live by faith, I know that I am a child of God and I live a distinctively different life. Those who walk by faith have to have this creed, this code of ethics, this code of conduct. I am a child of God and I live distinctively different from the world. Well, y'all different. I sure am. Don't apologize. Because I live by faith. I don't walk by sight. I live by faith. I do live a distinctively different lifestyle. I am different. Yes. Number two is I'm a student of the Word of God and I am God conscious in every situation. That I don't get in a situation and forget I'm a spirit being. I don't get in a situation and forget my spiritual rights and heritage. I'm a student of the Word of God and I have a God consciousness in every situation. Amen, amen. Boy, I get excited when I talk about this myself. Number three, here's the third thing. People who walk by faith, all right? God's agenda is my agenda. God's agenda is my agenda, and advancing the kingdom of God is my priority. Amen. Then that brings me to the fourth one. I live an impact life. Others will know I passed this way because of my commitment to righteousness. Look, it wouldn't be tragic to die and nobody miss you. I intend to live an impact life. Others will know I passed this way because of my commitment to righteousness. Amen. What am I not? Number what? Number five. Oh, my Lord, my Lord. I'm excited about my life, my family, the church, and the body of Christ. I can't wait for the next day to come. I live life excited about it. I'm preaching to myself now, yeah? Ain't nobody happy but me, Dr. B. I walk by faith. I'm a faith walker. I'm excited about life, excited about my family, excited about my church, excited about my future, excited about the kingdom of God. I'm different from the world. That brings me to number six. I'm the new breed of believer. I fight and I win. Glory to God. Amen, amen. No weapon formed against me prospers. It can be formed, but it won't prosper. That's the battle cry, as it were, of those who choose to live by faith. Amen. Now, Romans chapter 12. Go there, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Whatever life, whatever standard I choose to accept is the one that that will ultimately control my life. Now, I'm going to live based on the standard. And what the believer has to do, if you're going to have good self-esteem, is you have to accept God's standard. If you don't accept God's standard for your life and what God says gives you worth and value, then you'll be operating by the world's standard and it's flawed. Then you will not be able to rescue your children from that standard. Got it? Because they will spend their lives chasing decoys like you spent your life chasing fulfillment decoys. Now, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, are you there? All right. Anybody getting blessed out of this today? All right, all right. Amen. All right, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by their what? Renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So now, if I am going to start working toward good self-esteem, so nobody will be able to take advantage of me, nobody will be able to exploit me, if I'm going to work toward that, then I've got to renew my mind. That's the first thing I got to do. Because I have been conditioned by the world to think a certain way because it wants to control me. Now, what the world says brings value is my possessions, my presentation, how I present myself, my proficiency, how I perform, and my position. Did y'all get those four things? My possessions, what I have, brings me value. And all this is based on comparison. So what do I have? What position I have? How I perform, how I present myself. Those are the four factors that the world says, this is what you use to feel good about yourself. So I'm trying to get something so I can feel good about myself. But no matter what I get, somebody else can have more. So I find myself always comparing myself with somebody who got more. So no matter what I get, I can't be happy because their house bigger than mine. Their car newer than mine. They changed the style. I just got my wardrobe together and they changed the style. Are you listening to me? Position. Certain positions, jobs, employment, carry with it status. Okay? But then they messed up the first one. Because I thought you told me money made the difference. Money and possession. So I'm a truck driver. You understand? I'm a truck driver and I make plenty of money. You understand? I got the car. I got the house. I got everything. Now you're telling me it's position. So I'm not good because I don't have a job that you say is a good job to be respected. Because I'm a truck driver. You won't respect the teacher. Now, I can't be no teacher because I'm a truck driver. So now I can't feel good about myself because your standards say I got to have a certain kind of job. You see the flawness in it? Now, I'm not putting teachers down. I believe teachers ought to be well paid. I thought I'd be a better man on that. Got it? But I'm trying to show you how the system is. The system is set so it can control you and it will rob you of being able to properly value yourself. Because it's all based on you and it's based on comparison. 2 Corinthians, quickly. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It's based on proficiency. Proficiency really is based on my ability to perform, my education, that sort of thing. But whatever I know today can be obsolete tomorrow. Everything's changing. So if that's the standard you gave me, I'm only going to feel good about myself today. But when they upgrade the equipment, and I don't know, I can't feel good about myself. When they change the system, you got it? When new innovations come on the market, I can't feel good about myself because I can't perform like everybody else performs. Because there's something I don't know. Knowledge is ever changing, ever increasing. So if that's the standard, I never feel good about myself long. Because once they come out with one product, they got the other product already ready to come out. Amen. And then presentation. Who's to set the standard of what looks good? If I yield myself to their standard, then they'll always change it to keep me buying so I can look like they want me to look. When if I understand, look, what really matters is what God says. And God don't look at the outside. He looks at the heart. Now, if I can believe that, I can feel good about myself, even if I cannot keep up with the fashions. No, see, you got to get this in you now before you blow up. I want you to blow up, but I want you to be able to enjoy it when you blow up. But see, you'll never be able to enjoy when you succeed in other areas, material areas, if you don't get this right now. See, I got this years ago. I mean, you see, I know y'all look at me there. It's easy you to say you got all that. No, you understand. I got this years ago. When I was broke, I saw who I was. When I didn't have anything, I saw who I was. I changed then. And those who knew me back then can tell you because they thought I was crazy. That boy's crazy. Look how he's walking. Look how he acting now. I'm royalty now. Oh, my God. I got it. And I'm no more happier now than I was back then, because happiness doesn't come from stuff. I know you don't believe it. I know it's hard for you to believe it because you're saying, yeah, it's easy for you to say. But I'm telling you, it's not there. It's what I'm teaching you right now. That you find it so hard to get excited about. You want to go, give me how to get a Cadillac. Give me how to get a church. Show me how to get that Rolls Royce. That's what I want you to talk about. Get you that Rolls Royce blessing. And this is it. This is it right here. Until you can throw off that standard, you will never be happy. Until you throw off that standard where you got to compare yourself with somebody else to feel good about yourself, you're not going to ever make it. Somebody will always have a bigger house, always have a bigger car. Their lawn will always be beautiful, more beautiful. You have to manicure yours and you want to say about it. Then somebody come and have somebody just, boom, knock theirs out. You understand? Whatever it is you find pride in, I got to tell you, there's always something greater. Boy, y'all worked me on that point. I wasn't supposed to work that hard on that point. That was the easy point. This is, you know, y'all trying to really work me now. All right, what did I tell you? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 10, look at verse 12. Verse 12, it says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. I don't do that. So what I must understand is God's way of self-esteem. The kingdom parameters is not about comparison, but about redemption. Okay, enthusiasm just overwhelms me. Overwhelms, right? All right, remember the other was about what? My what? My possession. What else? My position. What else? My proficiency and my what? My presentation. Now, the kingdom's way is this way. It's about his price, his propitiation. That's substitute. I just want all the BPs. Got it? It's about him. Everybody say it's all about him. It's about his potential, what I can do in him. And it's about his posterity. I'm in his lineage. Now go to Luke chapter 12 real quick. Luke chapter 12. See, the kingdom way is about my relationship with him. My value don't come from all these other things. My value, the standard for my value, is my relationship with him. So it's about the price he paid. Come on here, church. It's about the price he, I have value not because of my stuff, but because of what he paid for me. He set my price. Oh, glory. All right. Now look how flawed this is. Luke chapter 12. What did I tell you? Verse 15. It says, and he said, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Your thinking is totally flawed if you think what you drove up in here today made you somebody. Or where you gonna go home to made you somebody. Totally flawed. Because the Bible says that's not the measure of a man. I heard a preacher talking the other day, talking about, I got this, I got that, I got that. And y'all don't respect me. I'm going, my God, you don't understand the scripture, buddy. That don't buy you nothing. Pimps got that. So you got to get yourself free of that. That ain't what makes you somebody. That is not what makes you somebody. The Bible says don't fall in that trap. What stuff? Because see, here's where it is. Then you will only think others are worth something who have the same thing. So now your whole attitude toward people is flawed. Because there's some folk you can't deal with because they ain't got nothing. They don't got, look at what kind of car he driving. Oh no. Jesus died for them too. Even though they got to ride in that car with some oil in the back seat, you understand? Oil in the trunk, case of oil in the trunk. Because they know every time they stop, they got to go fill that baby back up. That's like. So you can't love all people if that's your standard. I'm trying to tell you. As a preacher said, well, hey, we don't understand how you just like all preachers. Because I understand, man. It ain't about stuff. I was valuable when I was driving an old raggedy car, man. God loved me then. Potential was in me then. Pastors are surprised. Dr. B and I, sometimes we're on the road. I'm preaching to churches. One church we went to, they may have had 50 people. And all another pastor came over, but a big pastor, he came up, Doc, I didn't know you come to little churches like this. I said, hey, you know, I had a little church once, and you did too. You forgot, I have not. See, that's because the value ain't placed on the stuff. That's why in this church, you don't know who you sit next to, because I don't have a millionaire section. If you better treat the person next to you real nice, you don't know. Now watch this. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And we'll close it out. Anybody get blessed today? Now, I'm not insensitive. I'm going to get to you. I'm not insensitive of what you've been through. I know you've been through some stuff. I know you've been through some stuff. I'm going to get to you in just a moment. I ain't going to close and leave your wound open like that. I am going to get to you, but I got your solution. Watch this. Look there in verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Why? For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake. Man, that sound like what he told Moses. Sound like what he told Gideon. Sound like what he told Jeremiah. He's still saying the same thing. Your value is not in stuff. Your value is in my connection with you. Amen, amen. I'm a part of his family. That's my posterity. Glory to God. Look, wait a minute. But he didn't just put me in the family. He put you in the family too. For as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Amen, amen. See, when I look at it like that, then I can't help but love you. I can't help but accept you. It ain't about what you drive. It ain't about where you come from. I understand. Go to Romans chapter 8, my last scripture. But I understand. Let's deal with your hurt. I understand that. Because the reason a lot of people feel bad about themselves is because, number one, they're experiencing the consequences of their experimentation. See, they experimented with sin, and now they're facing the consequences of a sin situation. And now they're ashamed. And I'm sympathetic to you that you toyed with something you had no business toying with, and now you're facing those consequences, but that still does not change who you are. Then many times people are in dire straits and feel bad about themselves because of exploitation. Somebody who was supposed to protect you violated you. Somebody who was supposed to protect you raped you. Somebody who was supposed to protect you introduced you into a sin lifestyle. And it's a shame that they did it. It did hurt. But look, that doesn't lock you into that lifestyle. I'm sympathetic, but listen. Many people feel bad about themselves because of expectations. They expected their children to do one thing. They expected their children to do another thing. But then their children went and messed up. and now they're ashamed. Many people run and hide because their sons are in jail, run and hide because their teenagers get pregnant out of wedlock. And you change how you see yourself. You don't do that. I mean, one of my girls messed up. I said, what you gonna do? I ain't doing that. I didn't mess up. I'm gonna help her get through her situation. But I ain't taking on nothing. I didn't do nothing. God, look, God was the best father there was. And Adam messed up. He didn't quit being God. You don't need to feel no shame. You the one, you told her not to do that. You told her what to do. She did something totally opposite. You told that boy to quit running with that crowd. He kept running with him. He's in jail. Oh, yeah, you're going to go see him. Yeah, you're going to send him money. Yeah, you're going to pray for him. But I ain't taking on no shame. I ain't taking on no shame. I ain't taking on no shame. Romans chapter 8. Give myself an offering today, man. Romans chapter 8. Are you there? Look at verse 1. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now how much? No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I ain't bound by that other standard. Watch this. And because I'm bound by his standard, everything they say they think they need, I'll get anyway. Y'all didn't hear me. You didn't hear that. You didn't hear. Look, look, I'm not even operating on that standard. I'm not chasing their decoys. I'm locked into my relationship with him. I'm somebody because he took a boy out the ghetto and say, I'll be with you. That's why when 92% of the members left, 277 left in one day. I didn't look bad at myself. Why? Look, I'm telling you, he's still with me. Glory to God. That's my joy. Y'all don't understand. Now, here's the thing. You got to take this for yourself. You don't just sit there and rejoice with Pastor. He's talking to you. God's with you. And I'm with the clock. I'm out of time. Amen, amen. Yeah. And we're going to work on it again next week. See, I got to work on it again next week. Because I got to work. I got to work next week. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Listen, nobody's walking, nobody's moving. And we're going to work on it next week. Because I got to go a little deep on this. Amen. That's some things you need to start saying to yourself every day. Believing about yourself. Yes, indeed. Everybody said there's a process. Yeah. Y'all came to slow class. I couldn't get through with my lesson. See, process. Amen. Process is first information. That's what I'm giving you now. Then you take that information and get revelation. It becomes alive on the inside of you. Then after it becomes revelation on the inside of you, you saturate yourself with it. See, I think the way I think because I saturate myself with it. I'm not saturated with CNN. I'm not saturated with BET. I'm not saturated with Oprah. God bless Oprah. But I ain't saturated. I'm saturated with the word. And then out of saturation comes some eradication. That's some things you start cutting out of your life because you understand, look, you don't mean me no good. I need to redefine this relationship with you. See you. Glory to God. Okay. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Amen, amen. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Three simple invitations.